The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
Joshua chapter 11. I'll just read verse 6 and maybe verse 8. But the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid. Everybody say that. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid because of them. Let's say it. Do not be afraid because of them. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I want to tell you, do not be afraid because of them. For tomorrow about this time, I will deliver all of them slain before Israel. And you'll hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire. Verse 8, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who defeated them. And I'll stop there. I want to talk to you about this miracle. And I want to share with you what happened in the lead up to this miracle. I want to preach for a few moments about a fearless spirit, a conquering spirit, a spirit of victory that God wants on His people, I believe, in this time. Joshua was a brilliant strategist. He was a man who was very gifted, very able, and yet he felt so insecure that God, when He called him to stand in the footsteps of a legend named Moses, God said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And then, and this is all in Joshua chapter 1, God said to him four times in that chapter, but in order for you to fulfill the assignment that I have on your life, it is imperative that you not allow fear to dominate you. Fear will cause you to not perform the task that I have called you to. And he says to him, anytime God repeats something over and over to the same person, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. It is because God is acknowledging that even though I have a plan and even though I have a purpose, if you allow fear to overwhelm you, then you will not do what I really wanted you to do. Because fear can paralyze you. Fear not, be of good courage. I will give you the land to possess it. And you cannot, in this season, Joshua, after all of the waiting of 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, after all of the time of hoping and praying that something would change, the change is here. It is a new season, and it's time to cross over and possess the land. And you cannot look weak, look frail, look as though your knees are shaking. I want you to have faith, and I want you to look fearless. The amazing thing about in contrast about being a Christian is even when you don't feel strong, you are strong. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9 says that when we are weak, it says, for His grace is sufficient for us. And when we're weak, then He is strong. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so when you feel at your weakest, when you feel incapable, that is when you are leaning on Him, depending on Him. It's a good place to be because His strength cannot be perfected when we feel strong and capable. His strength is only released to us when we feel weak, but we know we're in the place God told us to be. And even when you're scared to death, you can look like a giant. How do I know that? Because I do that a lot on Sundays right here. Hallelujah. And God is faithful. Hallelujah. I mean that. I walk up here and I feel, when I look at these pitiful little notes, I feel like, Jesus, help, 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 help. There is nothing in that that makes me feel confident. It is only when I recognize that God put me here and God put you there and God gets all the glory when we're at our weakest. That's when he's so strong. Hallelujah. I'm getting happy, and I don't mean to be, and I don't know why I am, but I feel burst of joy. Hallelujah. That I don't have to be strong all the time, and I don't have to be great all the time. All I have to be is make sure I'm shining Jesus through me. And if he, they took note of them, they had been with the Lord. They were ignorant fishermen, the Bible says. Not that fishermen are ignorant, but those were. Hallelujah. From the beginning, Joshua was told, don't be afraid. I want you, Joshua, in this new season to have a fearless spirit. It's a season to conquer. It's a season to possess. And he said, possess the land. The word possess does not mean to ask for it. It does not mean to try. It means to take acquisition of, to possess it, to take it over. And I believe that is the spirit that is coming upon the church in this critical hour in human history. And in the nation that we're in, we are at a major crossroad, and the Lord does not want a fearful church. He wants a militant church. He wants a mighty church. He wants an aggressive church. He wants a triumphant church that says, we are here for such a time as this, and we're taking the land. We're taking the country. Look bold into the devil's face and say, in the name of Jesus, we depossess you. Get out in the name of, we dispossess. In the name of Jesus, get out. Joshua had three battles instantly that he had to face before he could possess the land. And I want to show you in Joshua chapter 3, what happened, because it's relevant to what has happened in our nation even this week. And I want you to see a contrast here, because on the same time, Joshua 3 is the actual story of Israel getting up in the morning and about to walk across to the promised land. And this is what happened in Joshua 3 and verse 14. And it came to pass that when they moved, when they were ready to camp across over the Jordan, that the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people bore the Ark and came to Jordan. And when the feet of the priest who bore the Ark dipped to the edge of the water, this is so important, Jordan began to overflow its banks during the time of harvest. The waters which came down from upstream stood still. I want you to see what this says. It says, for Jordan, the King James says, for Jordan overflowed all its banks at the time of harvest. You never get the harvest from God. This is a Bible principle. Right when you're ready to walk across, right when you're ready to go, the enemy comes in like a flood. A flood came and Jordan began to swell, for Jordan overflows all its banks at the time of the harvest. You never get the harvest without the flood. If the flood comes, it means that you're closer to the harvest than you've ever been. You get right to the door of revival and suddenly it's flood stage. And the enemy does everything he can to stop a family, to stop a person from being saved. And it's so amazing. It seemed like hell was unleashed right when they were about to step into what God had for them. The flood came, and the way that you will see this in your life, and I can say it's true in mine, you will mark the floods, and you will mark your miracles by crisis, that you face the flood tide of that attack of the enemy right before you move in. On one side, the river is flooding, and it looks impossible. It looks dangerous. I mean, it's one thing to try to cross a river even when it's up to your waist or neck. The current is strong. But when it's flooding, you don't take a heavy Ark of the Covenant with the stone tablets made of gold, took seven men to carry it, and step up to the bank of the river and step in to a flooding. The dam has broke, and the river is flooding. I don't suggest you do that, but God told Joshua to get out 2,000 cubits in front of millions of Israelites who were watching, and you go first with my presence, the Ark of the Covenant. And he said, you've never been this way before where I'm taking you. See, I believe that first the natural, then the spiritual. I believe that the flood has come. We're 30 days away from an election. We don't know what's going to happen in this nation. We got the Israel war going on. We got the Ukraine-Russia war going on. Our economy is uncertain. Everything is uncertain. We don't know what's happening. And on top of that, a hurricane comes through, and it doesn't destroy the coast as much as it destroys the mountains. And it comes through a flood. And if there is a flood, it only comes in the time of harvest. I believe that we're about to see a harvest in the kingdom of God worldwide like we have never seen. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And everybody say, Gainesville's not gonna miss that. We're gonna be in that flow of the river this week in Jesus' name. Now give the Lord a praise, I believe it. I don't know if you've seen Jordan swell and tell you, you can't have it, you can't go there, it'll never happen. But if you're facing the flood tide, it's just a confirmation that on one side, you will mark your miracle by that flood. That right before my husband got saved, the enemy puffed up, and like a flood, the enemy came in. But when you get to the other side, you'll look back and mark your miracle from that crisis. Right before my business broke through, right before God rearranged me and gave me the next step in the new season, right before a breakthrough came, the flood came and Jordan swelled, and a voice said, stay right where you are. You're not going across and possessing what God said you can possess. You will name your miracles by crisis. Hallelujah. All harvest happens in crisis. The greatest revivals in history came when the church went through the greatest persecution. And I want you to understand that when you're at the greatest impasse of your life, that just means that only harvest comes only in the time of flooding of Jordan. It's the flood that brings you into the promises. Joshua, get out front, for you have not passed this way before. You've never seen, I want to say it like I want to say it, Free Chapel, you've never seen a revival like you're about to see. I'm going to go on and talk faith. We've never seen healings like we are going to see. These are the last days. It's time for the church to believe in miracles again. We have never seen our families on fire for Jesus like we are going to see in this revival. Somebody get up on your feet and say, Jordan, you're gonna part. Hallelujah. Jordan, the enemy sends the flood, but our God rides on the flood. The Bible said in Psalms that the voice of the Lord is in the flood. Hallelujah. And the Bible said he is enthroned on the waters and the flood. Wouldn't it be something? And it is happening. It's happening on college campuses. Things are happening. Something is going on. And it feels like God is ready to send the harvest. Harvest always is in the time of the flood. The second thing that happened, and I want you to hear it, is not only did he have to overcome a natural obstacle, and Brother Joshua did overcome the natural, because the Bible said as soon as the sole of his foot touched the water, God will require that step of faith, won't he? He says, nah, as long as you stay on the bank. And I could almost see Joshua doing like this. I'm going to get right here on the bank. And God says, nah, you're still not in miracle territory. You're not in miracle territory until you step out on nothing but what I've told you. And the moment you step out on what I... How many of you are worried that I'm going to fall and break my leg? It's because you don't have any faith. I'm about to jump. I feel like jumping. I feel happy this morning. I feel like something's coming. I feel a river of joy. I feel Ezekiel's river in my ankles and in my knees and coming up, and it's going to be a river to swim in. I'm expecting God to do something. I don't know why, but I've got expectation. Something's going to happen. And the Bible said the moment that the soles of his feet touched the water parted on both sides, and he walks out 2,000 cubits and gets in the middle of that river, and all those people saw it. And I love the accuracy of God's word, and it said, and they all walked across on dry land. They didn't even have mud between their toes. They didn't even get stuck in their sandals in the mud puddles. There were no mud puddles. They walked across on dry land. It's not going to be as hard as you thought it was. And then the second thing happens. When they get across, they made it through natural obstacles. The natural, the swelling of Jordan. Joshua needed God's help in defeating the enemies. And he said, well, if God could part that river, now that I got the enemy on the run and dark daylight is going away, I need another natural miracle. And he points his finger at the sun and says, I might as well use this thing since I've seen God do something so great. Sun, stand still. This is in Joshua chapter 10. And the Bible said the sun stood still. God interrupted the whole universe. Natural things can't stop you. But then he gets across, and then there's a city called Jericho, and it's a man-made obstacle. The walls were built so high, these farmers had never seen anything like those walls. 65 feet high. The ruins are still there in Jericho. I've seen them and been there many times. And they've never been rebuilt. They just are there, and they're flat. They're crumbled, and there's ancient stones down in the ground. And the walls 65 feet high, wide enough to race chariots side by side around. And they look up, and the man-made obstacle said, you cannot have what God says you can have. They built the walls to keep them out. The will of the enemy is to frustrate us. If he can't get you to backslide, he wants you to be held back, to be shut out, to be blocked out. He wants you to give in to man-made obstacles that say you cannot have what God says you can have. And I'm telling you today that his formula was very simple. God spoke to Joshua and he said, I want you to tell the people to march 7 times around the walls of Jericho. And on the 7th day, I want them to blow the trumpet after they do it 7 times on the 7th day and blow the trumpet and shout. And when they shout, the walls of Jericho will fall. And then he added something. Joshua said, now I want you to march around the walls of Jericho. And you can read this when he gives the instructions. And he says, do not say a word. Zip your lip. I don't want to hear you talk. I don't want to hear you whine. You know why he did that? Because 40 years before, right when they were on the brink of crossing over under Moses, he sent 12 spies to spy out the land. And 2 came back. One was named Caleb and one was named Joshua. The same Joshua. And he said, we're well able to take the land. Let's go, let's go. But the 10 spies said, we can't do it. There's giants in the land. Oh, they are great people. Oh, we're nothing. We can't do it. And they talked them out of the miracle. And Joshua said, let me just preach it like I want to. Joshua said, zip your lips. And if anybody says one word for the next 7 days, kill them. I don't want you to talk yourself out of a miracle. So just be quiet and keep taking steps forward and watch what I'll do. I preached a whole sermon on that one time called Quiet. A miracle is in progress. Hallelujah. Get quiet about your fears and get loud about how mighty your God is. And on the 7th time, they shouted and the walls fell down, and the man-made walls are gonna fall this week in the name of Jesus. And then there's one more I wanna talk about. I wanna go back and I want you to see, this is the one I really felt. They get on the brink of taking and dispossessing the enemies, and they encounter a man by the name, and he's in the 11th chapter of Joshua at the beginning of that verse, a man by the name of Jabin. If you look up the name Jabin, it means intelligent one. In other words, he had great ability to outsmart, to outwit. Joshua had faced a natural barrier, he had faced a man-made obstacle, but now he is facing a super intelligent, smart, super smart people. You know you're getting close to your promised land when you start dealing with super smart people who are conniving, who are evil in their intent, who have ways and means and connections and all kinds of stuff that they are doing, planning, strategizing, while you're just walking by faith. Let me tell you about this man. It's interesting. He's an intelligent man. He uses big words. Jabin was an organizer. He spearheaded the attack. He confederated 5 different armies. He got the best weapons made from the Egyptians of steel and wood. He took Syrian methods of warfare and incorporated them that they had never seen. The Israelites, poor little farmers, had never seen this kind of sophisticated warfare. Some of you are fighting super intelligent, sophisticated warfare. He was a professional in the machinery and warfare. The kings of these armies gave him control, and he was such a strategizer that he had this ability, and he had chariots of iron, 900 chariots of iron. He had 300,000 men armed to the T. He had 100,000 foot soldiers and 150,000 trained in reserve. He plotted and strategized how he would defeat Joshua. He had it. Now, I know Joshua, All right, you crossed Jordan and you made it through the natural obstacle and you tore down the walls of Jericho, the man-made obstacles, but you will not go any further. But suddenly, he comes, this smart man, and can you imagine the fear that came on Joshua when they had made it across, taken Jericho, now they're taking the rest of the land. And here comes Jabin, here comes hundreds of thousands of chariots and things, and so intelligent, every detail was organized and synchronized that we'll shoot this and do that. And all, have you ever felt that way? I wonder, you business people, you know what I'm talking about. Every once in a while, you make it through everything, and then there's those super smart, and I want to throw in evil people. Not that all smart people are evil, but I'm just saying there are some smart, evil people. Extremely strategic in how they plan to destroy you. And while you're reading your Bible and eating your lunch or whatever, they are in meetings. They've been planning for months. Demonic plans and strategies. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but boy, I feel the Lord saying, preach it. I tell you, my Bible said no weapon formed against. And they got experts, they got lawyers, they got this, they got that. Nothing against lawyers. Thank God for lawyers. We got them in this church. They're going to be some in heaven. Amen. Amen. Thank God for lawyers. But I'm talking about when somebody's, how many of you know what I'm talking about? It's just, and all you've got, they've got this, they've got that, they've got their meeting with this, they've got connections, they've got money, they've got power, and all of it strategizing against you, and all you've got is the name of Jesus. Oh, God loves these kinds of setups. He loves it when super smart people versus the name of Jesus, because he makes the men look foolish. He uses people who he chooses, and he says, I'll humble you a little bit with this. Bless his heart, he's simple. But I didn't just make him a conqueror. He conquered the natural obstacle. He conquered the man-made obstacle. And that was conquering, but I called you to be more than a conqueror. Romans chapter 8, he said, in all these situations, we are more than conquerors. I'm not just gonna win today, I'm gonna win tomorrow. I'm not just gonna win against natural things, I'm gonna win against man-made problems. And when I win after that, I'm gonna win next week and the next week and the next week. And even if it looks like I'm losing, if I'll stand in fearless faith and courage, God says I'll come right along and I'll use the flood to take you to the harvest. I want somebody to praise him for just a minute. I'm almost done. I'm not even trying to preach hard today. But I feel like these next few words are important. And the Lord said, just when Jabin thought, my trap is set, I've got him right where I want him, I'm going to wipe up the floor with those Israelites and that leader, Joshua. And all of a sudden, the Lord sends a prophet and says these words, you read them, tomorrow about this time. Tomorrow about this time, I will turn the whole thing around. And see, I like the way that God didn't put us, He doesn't give you the specific time. He always has to, even when He tells you, it's, in other words, it's very close. About this time. I don't know. We get frustrated because you said 9 a.m. And God never says 9 a.m. God says about 9-ish.
When I've been waiting on my man for, well,
I do know this. He will tell you when the season is there. This is the season. This is the moment. I feel like something's fixing to happen that is glorious in our nation and in our world. And it has to do with the harvest and revival and a move of God like we've never seen before. And tomorrow, about this time, I'm not going to tell you the exact moment. It may be sooner, it may be later. I just want you to get expectant that here's the point, morning is coming. Tomorrow the sun is going to shine. Your tomorrow will be better than your today. And tomorrow about this time, I don't want you to get caught up in the details. I just need you to get your faith up and be fearless and be courageous. Because I'm still the God of the flood. I'm still the God who saves and delivers. I know the enemy has, you wanted it to get better, and instead Jordan began to swell and flood. Don't let it talk you out of what I've promised you. I'm still able to do it. Tomorrow, about this time, everybody say, in the name of Jesus. Sunshine, morning is coming back to my life. Raise your hands up and praise Him. Praise Him. Take a moment and thank Him. Thank Him. Man-made obstacles can't stop you. Natural obstacles, floods of discouragement can't stop you, because He's your God. And super smart people, God's going to deal with some cases and situations where weapons were formed against you. But tomorrow about this time, the sun is coming up on that situation. Hallelujah. Lord, we believe You. Stand up on your feet all over this building. Here's what I feel now. Here's what I feel. I want every person under the sound of my voice that has been feeling dominated by fear. I want to tell you what a prophet called me, and I say that very, very carefully, because usually if somebody calls himself a prophet, I don't know about that. But this guy's got a prophetic word. And he only calls me when the Lord speaks to him, because I gave him my number and gave him permission, because he's been on target several times, massively. And he said, Jensen, the Lord told me to tell you, this was back several months ago, that He has a bubble. That's how he said it. A bubble of protection. Hallelujah. I tell you, I felt courage when he told me that. He said, go where he leads you and say what he tells you to say, because he's putting you in a bubble of protection. Isn't that a powerful word? It went off in me. Tony Soares, one of the greatest evangelists in America, sitting down here on the front row, had one Sunday off. But you know, when God puts you in a bubble of protection, what can man do to you? And there have been a couple of times. One time I was flying on an airplane and it got real, real bad. I felt like I was riding on a Bronco is what I felt like. And instantly the Lord said, relax. I've got you a bubble of protection. And I've had other situations where I knew the Lord was telling me to do it, but I didn't know. But He said, I've got you in a bubble of protection. Because the spirit of fear will taunt you if you let it. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but if He could put a bubble of protection on me, He can on you and yours. And if you've been wrestling with fear, even physical ailments in your body, I really feel the healings are going to take place, especially, I believe. But if you're fearful, you've got a bad report, and fear kind of just torments you about it. I want you to come stand down here today because God's going to begin something. And don't come just because I'm asking. If it's three people, I'm happy with that. I don't care. I want people to be delivered from this fear, this tormenting fear. And you know what I feel like you ought to do is that second song, we set our hope on you. We set our You are the everlasting God. Man, I felt joy in that song. Maybe it's fear about your future. There was a woman from Asheville and came with family here, and she said, I'm in a real estate developer, and she said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have a business to go back to. Things just got washed away. And the Lord had me preaching this sermon for her, I believe. God knows, and He doesn't want you in a bubble of fear. He wants you in a bubble of faith. So I want you to lift those hands up toward heaven right now. You're in the divine moment with God. He's going to take care of you. He's going to lead you. And I speak right now in the name of Jesus to every natural obstacle. The river that's swelling right before the crisis that has gotten bigger, not smaller. It's swelling. It's gotten bigger, not smaller, but it does not diminish our faith. Hallelujah. And I speak to man-made obstacles. Jericho walls, you will come down in the name of Jesus. And we speak by faith to Satan, the super intelligent one, the super intelligent one, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just deal with those schemes and those connivers and those situations that are being plotted and planned. No weapon formed against God's people. Put them in a bubble of protection right now. Now I want you to receive the peace of God about that right now. I pray for those who are worried about their health, ailments, and even heart palpitations or knots or whatever it is, the symptoms is the word I'm looking for, have manifest. But in the name of Jesus, we speak healing to your body and a bubble of protection to preserve you. And you may go through the fire. Listen, I want to close with this. Isaiah, put Isaiah 43 up that we used today. I want everybody to say this out loud over your life. It's so powerful. Everybody read it out loud and say, but now Thus saith the Lord, let's go, that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. You are mine. When you pass through the flood, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia, Sebit, for thee. Now throw your hands up and praise the Lord. The Lord is my life. Sing it right now. Let's praise him a minute. Let's praise him a minute. God's not through yet. Sing it with everything you got, everybody. Sing it.
Of who shall I be afraid?
The Lord.
The Lord is my life.
Come on. Declare it again. The Lord is my life. Throw your hands up and declare this.
The Lord is my light of salvation. Of
whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? No super smart people can compare to my God. Whom shall I
fear? Whom shall I be afraid?
Now just throw your hands up and say, I'll wait on you. I'm gonna mount up with wings as eagles. I'll wait on you. I'll be confident. Do the bridge now. In the 9 o'clock service, because I as sure as anything I did, but there were so many people who gave their heart to Jesus, it was unreal. And it's fixing to happen again because the harvest is here. It's the time of harvest. And so if you're here, if you're at any of our campuses and you know you're not in right relationship with Jesus Christ, you're backslid, you're running from God, maybe you're going through the flood, maybe it's man-made, maybe it's super smart, incredibly sophisticated situations that are so entangled that you don't see any way out. This is what I'm preaching this morning. Jesus is a type of Joshua. And he went out before us and went on the cross and paid the price for us to cross from death unto life, from defeat to victory, from slavery to freedom. You can be free this morning. You can be saved this morning. As everybody just kind of stands right where you are, if you're in this room and you would say, Pastor Jensen, I sense that something's going on in the world. Don't you feel it? Don't you feel we're near the coming of the Lord? Pastor, pray for me. I need to be ready. I want to get right with God. I want to know that I know that I'm saved. Pray for me. If that's you, boldly raise your hand as high as you can raise it, right where you're standing. It's powerful. At every campus, and the pastors are coming in a moment. Just every hand raised, every hand raised. I'm going to ask you to do something really strange, but it's going to break chains off of you if you do it. I want every one of you that have your hand raised to get out of your seat and come up here on the platform and stand with me. If you raise your hand, clap your hands, church. This is the first of the harvest. This is just the first of the harvest. This is the first fruits. We will see many, many, many. By faith, I claim thousands of souls over the next four nights. Thousands. Come on, here they come. Clap, here they come. Come on, come on. If you're in overflow, come in from overflow. This is your service. This is your service. This is your service. This is your service. Come on, come on, come on, come on. He loves you. He's the everlasting God, and he gives everlasting life. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Come on. They're still coming. Here they come. Come on. Come on. Be fearless. Be strong and courageous. Stand up for Jesus. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Anyone else? Come on. They're coming. They're coming. I'm going to wait just another moment. Somebody else needs to slip out of that seat. Say, I've had enough of sin. I've had enough of the lies and the deception. I need God. I need Jesus. Come on. So he loves you. He's not angry at you. I want you to be fearless, the Lord would say. And I don't want you to fear eternity, and I don't want you to fear the judgment. I don't want you to fear your mistakes and failures and sins, because I have washed them all away. I'm ready. I'm ready to raise you up and help you. And that's why you came. You know you. You wouldn't have walked up here. You wouldn't do this in front of all these people. You're doing it because Jesus spoke to you. If you never hear him again, you heard him this morning. And he spoke to you. Not all that. He spoke to you. And you. And you. He knows your name. Now, this is what revival is about. Put a face on. Man, if I could, and I love the tears. Don't ever be ashamed of the tears. Praise God. That's called conviction. That's called repentance. And it's beautiful. It's all right. Now, everybody, pray this prayer. Son, glory to God. I don't know who you are, but the Lord has a... My God, this is going to be a miracle week for you. Tomorrow, about this time, throw your hands up. Lord, in the name of Jesus, lay your hand on him. Lift the heaviness, lift the burden. Restore, renew, revive in Jesus' mighty name. Woo, hallelujah. That's a miracle. I don't know who he is, but that's a miracle. That's some mama's prayer right there. Now just raise your hands to Jesus. Everybody in this room, pray this prayer out loud. Say it wherever you are. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me. I receive you. I receive eternal life. I receive forgiveness and acceptance. I am loved by you. You care for me. You know my name, so write it in the book of life. I thank you for salvation, spirit, soul, and body. Heal me, save me, and deliver me from every addiction. I give myself to you. I surrender all to you. And you are my Savior and you are my Lord. Say this now. I will not be afraid. I will not fear. I will not be discouraged because the Lord is on my side. In Jesus' name, Lord, I praise you. Now throw up those hands and let's praise it. Let's have a praise party for about 60 seconds. Come on and magnify the Lord with me. One more time, Amy, sing it. Oh, I set my hope.
Who is the everlasting God?
He's the everlasting
God.
Go on and worship him. This room today. Somebody's got a big appointment tomorrow. You walk in there with a courageous spirit. You walk in there knowing the Lord is with you. Sing it again. Sing the bridge now. Believe that? Do you receive that? Every one of you came forward for fearful situations and situations you need courage in. I mean, this is a specific word, so God has spoken to you. Take him at his word. Take him at his word. And he has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. You're not anxiety, you're not fear, you're not schizophrenic, you're not bipolar, you're not losing your mind, you're not hopeless and helpless. I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. In Jesus' name. I speak that over you. I speak it over you in the name of Jesus. Look at this. Isn't this amazing? To God be the glory.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.